We've been working through the book of Isaiah. Last week we were in Isaiah chapter 6, where for the first time Isaiah receives a call from the Lord for the work that he's going to do. We are ready to look at Isaiah chapter 7. If you look at Isaiah chapter 7, it seems to start off in a totally different direction. You might want to make a note to look in 2 Kings 16. There's a parallel coverage of this moment in the history of Israel and Judah. Depending on which of those you read, 2 Kings 16 or here in Isaiah 7, depending on which you read, you might get a slightly different sense of what's going on. I'm going to try to walk you down the middle of that. It seems like the northern kingdom, Israel, plus Aram, have decided to try to get Judah to join an alliance with them so as to oppose Assyria. I'm moving my hands in the direction that a map would be, and that's backwards from you, so it's really doing you very little good. But if you read the Isaiah chapter 7, it sounds like the two of them are ganging up to attack Judah. And that seems to be right. If you read the 2 Kings, it sounds like what they've said is, we are either going to get them into alliance with us, or we're going to wipe them out and just take them anyway. We don't want them to be behind us. And if you read in 2 Kings 16, there's a hint that the king of Judah, name is Ahaz, if you look down in here you'll find it, the king of Judah was thinking of trying to set up an alliance with Assyria to try to prevent these two closer countries from attacking. So in chapter 7, verse 3, the Lord said to Isaiah, you go and talk to Ahaz. And begin to talk to him. And I want you to listen to what he says. Pay attention. Keep calm. I'm reading, I think, in verse 4. Pay attention. Keep calm. Do not be frightened or demoralized by these two smoldering sticks of firewood. And then it begins to talk about why he might have been demoralized or frightened. Look at the terms again. Pay attention, keep calm, do not be frightened, do not be demoralized. You see those that set of phrases? Now, if you keep reading, verse 6 says, they've been plotting against you, saying, let us mount an attack on Judah, destroy it, force it onto our side, and install a puppet king in place of Ahaz, it would be. That phrase in my translation that says, destroy it, force it on our side, those have to be a little bit inconsistent. Destroy it means weaken it enough where we can bring them into the alliance. That seems to be what 2 Kings 16 is saying. Now, the interesting thing about this is not this moment. The interesting thing about this is that in the middle of the conversation that Isaiah has with Ahaz, something really interesting pops up, and something that chances are good that if you've been around church at Christmas time for several years, you will have heard this every year. And I'm going to try to show you the context in which this came, admitting to you as I do that I don't know for sure what this says. So let's start. Verse 10. The Lord spoke to Ahaz again, presumably through Isaiah, and said, ask the Lord your God for a sign, either in the depths of hell or in the heights above. What did God just say? Ask me for a sign. What's Ahaz's response? Verse 12. I won't do it. I won't put the Lord my God to a test. Now, assuming that that's all you saw, what would your response be? I'm hoping you might say, good for Ahaz. That's a pretty smart step to have taken. And the next verse, which I think is verse 13, criticizes Ahaz for that. And if you've listened at Christmas time, this is a confusing scripture if you really listen to what it says. Listen now, house of David. You're not satisfied with trying human patience. Are you going to try God's patience too? And then God himself says, I'm going to show you a sign in any case. What's the sign? I'm sorry, yours says?
A virgin will be with child and bear a son.
A virgin will be with child and bear a son. Does anybody have a different translation of that one? I certainly do. I've got a word difference.
Mine says conceive and bear a son.
Does it say virgin?
Yes.
Mine says young woman. In most cultures, that's the same thing. Except if you say a virgin conceives, what does that sound like? That sounds like a messianic prophecy. If it says young woman conceives as a son, then that might be talking about that time right there. But hidden in this is the virgin conceives. There's something deeper and wider that talks about Jesus coming hundreds of years later. And I think both of those are hiding in there, and I'm just not sure exactly how to tease them apart. Sydney?
The message says a girl who is presently a virgin will be pregnant.
And I think that would say there's a young girl, she's going to get pregnant. In the normal course of things, she's going to get married and then get pregnant, and on and on and on. But hiding in the way it's worded gives you a glimpse of something unique and radically different that's going to come out. So, if I make sense of this, having said, I don't know how to make sense of this. Has everybody heard that first part? Okay, I don't know how to make sense of this. But having said that, if I try anyway, it sounds to me as if what you're hearing is a prophecy that has an immediate moment and a hundreds of years from now, if not a thousand years from now, application. I think that's what you're hearing. And what's interesting is the name that the young woman gives to the child. What's the name? Which means God with us. Now, within a short period of time, there's going to be a second child born and a second name. And that name is more confusing than this one. If you keep coming on curds and honey, he will feed until he knows how to refuse the bad and choose the good. And before the child knows how to refuse the bad and choose the good, the land whose two kings are frightening you will be deserted. What's the prophecy? You've got two kings, look like they're about to attack you. They're about to come into your territory and attack you. And there's going to be a baby born, and before that baby gets old enough to choose right from wrong, what age would that be?
13.
In the Jewish faith, as I understand it, it's either 12 or 13. Sort of, we might talk about it as the age of accountability. Did you go to the worship service today? Okay. How old was Tom Stocks when he came to faith? Did he tell you? He told us at 8 o'clock. 11 years old. So 11, 12, 13, something like that. Before the, so a few years from now, this is going